Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
No one's intervened on behalf of...
And now, coming to you live from atop the Goldenrod City Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle TCG Cast!
Welcome everybody to episode 8 of the Puckle TCG Cast. I am your host, Lord Yushiro, and with me today I got two fine gentlemen. First, a man so respected in the world of Pokemon, it is said that his tears could bring Cubone's mother back to life. It is a pity that he's incapable of crying. Mr. Sublime Manic!
True story. Hey,
Also with us, all the way from Lavender Town Radio Tower, it is said that when he's depressed, he takes joy in beating baby Pokemon in a bloody pulp in Little Cup. The legend himself, Thatch.
Okay, I don't know if it's beating them, but yeah, no.
You murderer.
I haven't played Little Cup in so long.
Sure you haven't.
I haven't. Not in a
while.
A whole
4 days.
I've been playing a lot of other metas. I've been mostly playing VGC 16 as of late, and I feel kind of bad because I need to play OU for the Summer League.
Oh, yeah. Summer League is around the corner, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's like within 3 weeks or something. I need to today, actually, I'm sending out the emails to the gym leaders.
Oh, nice. It's been like 4 podcasts that we've heard that, but yeah, okay.
Well, we actually did the interviews like 2 weeks ago, so.
Oh, that's true.
This wedding's just killing me.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started on that. So, again, welcome to the Puckle TCG Cast. Puckle, of course, stands for Pokemon Underground Champions League. Thatch likes to say it's a nonsensical name. I beg to differ. It makes complete sense. And it's, of course, more than just podcast. It's a Pokemon community. And we got a great episode for you guys at home. There's some fine news. We're going to finally talk about the next set coming out in Japan. We're going to talk a little bit of a set that came out, or it's close to come out in Japan, and we're not going to have it. And we're going to get some emails from you guys, the community. So let's go ahead and start with the news. Sublime Manic, take it away.
So, there is a premium champion set that has been leaking from Japan. Their fourth set like this is beginning to leak online, and it's actually coming out in Japan Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's, yeah.
It's basically like Legendary Treasures. It's a big,
huge set
of 98%
mostly just cards you want reprinted to stay around more.
Correct. It's a reprinting, reprinted set. Only like 3 new cards it's gonna have,
well,
which we're gonna discuss
sets.
Them right here. Oh, yo, they are super important. Thanks to Legendary Treacherous, we had Jiraji for longer.
We had Darkrai for longer.
Mm-hmm. Mewtwo, EX with X Ball longer. It was a very important set.
And we got the prettiest Reshiram full art.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, though, it seems we're not gonna get this set here in the U.S., at least not next. Actually, U.S., and we're gonna talk about this a little later, U.S. already gave the release date for the next set, actual new card set after Awakenings of the King. So this doesn't mean that we are not going to receive this event at some point, of course, but it might be just in a different time frame than Japan. This tends to happen every once in a while. It's no big deal. But we really do want this set because it, I mean, it reprints so many things such as Jirachi. Not Jirachi, I'm so sorry, Shaymin EX. It reprints Night March again. It reprinted a whole lot of things. But in between them, there's three new cards. And those are the cards we're going to discuss real quick right now. Sublime, talk about Beedrill EX.
Beedrill EX has 160 HP, which is weak. It has two attacks. The first is Double Scrap. For a single colorless energy, you may discard up to two Pokemon tools from your opponent's Pokemon, which is a waste of an attack.
Oh, yeah.
And a second attack called Pin Missile with one grass energy and one colorless energy, which does... You flip four coins, and the attack does 40 damage times the number of heads.
Another flippy one. It's meh. Well, it's like bad. You guys know, if it's a, if there's a Mega, the regular EX tends to be to suck.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, that's
true.
Yeah, speaking of that Mega, Thatch, what about Mega Beedrill?
Mega Beedrill. Oh, man, I was not ready for this. Okay, so Mega Beedrill has 200 HP, really low for a Mega, right?
Yep.
And super for low. For two grass, you get Hazard Stinger, which I just love these cards. And I love looking at the Japanese ones because the attacks are in English. And then in our cards, they're in Japanese. Mm-hmm. And I think the English just always looks better because I can read it. it does 40 damage. You discard all energy attached to this Pokemon, and your Pokemon's active Pokemon is now paralyzed and poisoned because of the TCG, so you're allowed to do that. Between turns, place four damage counters on it instead of one for poison, which is just insane. Like, that's a lot of damage for toxic.
Yes.
Or, well, it's essentially toxic damage in Pokemon.
I love Mega Beedrill. And it's just because it's an auto paralyze, because I'm typically iffy on the whole, I'm gonna do really low damage right now, but you're gonna have a lot of toxic damage afterwards. I like to kill my opponents quick, not wait a turn to do it.
I feel like in the TCG though, it's such a fast game that you need to do that. And something like this is going to be kind of, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be that useful.
What makes it useful is the paralyze, though. The fact that you
paralyze
your
opponent. Does that not let you retreat?
That's true. However, we're in a format where Expanded has Keldeo EX and Standard has Zoroark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's going to be good.
Well, Keldeo EX is a threat, but Zoroark is pretty niche in the deck it is. You really won't see a Zoroark anywhere else that is not in the Velta deck. So if you run into an Velta deck, well, yeah, that's gonna suck. But Paralyze is a big deal because they mean they need to have something every turn to be able to do
Switch.
Something. What right. I like about Mega Beedrill is zero retreat cost, which makes it quick. And if it needs to retreat, it will retreat with no problem. And also, it's grass, so it has the advantage of giant plant forests of giant plants, whatever you call it, which makes it able to evolve on one turn. And then it only needs two grass to attack, which you can get that at turn two easily.
You can get that with turn one if you have Mega Turbo.
With Mega Turbo. So he's ready to go in turn one. And you're paralyzing your opponent. So unless he switches or evolves, he can't really do anything. I like it. The only drawback, like Thatch said, is the HP. Ugh. 200? Yes, it's more than most cards, but it's pretty low for a Mega.
Eh.
So
we'll see.
I like it, at least.
The damage is still pretty low, too, though.
It is. 40 damage.
Even if it's 40 more between turns, that's low.
Yeah, it is. That's the only part. But I still like it a lot. I mean, it does have potential. So
it does.
Yep.
It's a league card. I don't know if it's a competition card. It's definitely a league card.
A couple formats ago, there was a very, very famous deck that used a similar attack.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking Exelgor Trevenant. No, it wasn't Trevenant. It was Gothitelle at the time, but it was Exelgor Gothitelle, where Exelgor it went to Worlds, really. Over a very similar attack where you were paralyzing and poisoning at the same time, so you lock your opponent, because then after that, you'd switch to Gothitelle, which prevented items from being played the same way that Trevenant plays right now.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see if someone can try to replicate that.
Yeah.
With the zero retreat cost that this thing has.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. No, and remember that also we talked about Expanded. There's the Toxic Gym. Forgot the name.
Yes.
Viridian?
Verbank.
Verbank City Verbank. Gym. Thank you. Which adds another two counters. So that's 60 damage per turn, which it's pretty hard. It's, you know, that's 100 damage on hit, 40 for the attack. If you have a muscle band, that's 60 plus 60 more, that's 120. And then if the opponent can't retreat or do anything when the turn goes in, that's another 60. That's an 180 able to KO normal EXs.
However, if you have a muscle band, that means you did not have a spirit link.
That is true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is true. But let's move on. To a Pokemon that we discussed last week, that's Wobbuffet Break. And we discussed this card, but the reason we're going to discuss it today is because we actually have the correct translation, and it changed the whole card itself. So last time we talked about Wobbuffet Break, we were discussing how 140 is really low for a break card,
yeah, even absolutely. Though
it's a stage 1 break card. But the attack reads, for one psychic and one colorless, and if you have, Dimension Valley, that's, one, colorless less, so it's one psychic, discard all energy cards from this Pokemon. During your opponent's next turn, place damage counters on your opponent's active Pokemon equal to any damage done to this Pokemon by attacks. That's actually not bad. Not bad at all. I mean, it's a break card, so it only gives out one price. It uses one psychic energy and basically puts the situation on a standstill. Because its attack doesn't target the active Pokemon. So even if the opponent switched active Pokemon, this is still active when the damage gets done. So it's not bad at all. Not bad. What do you guys think?
Usable.
Yeah, definitely usable.
Great or prominent, but usable.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that 100%.
It's definitely a, if you're playing psychic, you might as well have one and one.
Mm-hmm.
Right? One Wobbuffet, or if you're using Wobbuffet, just have this break. It's not bad at all.
I mean, a lot of decks do use that Wobbuffet already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just great because that's what they use it for mostly. Wobbuffet is just a stall card.
Mm-hmm.
To prevent your opponent from using abilities. So this is a good card. Definitely a good card. But let's move on, because we have other break cards to discuss.
Dash. Oh yeah.
Talk about our favorite fire barbecue
Smogon bird.
Yeah.
Talonflame is getting a break, which is actually really cool. I was actually looking at other Talonflame cards to use this with.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't too many. I would say the Roaring Skies ones is the best. I mean, like the other three Talonflame cards that exist are like really bad. All three of them are really bad. I would only suggest using the one from the Roaring Skies if you're going to do it at all, just because it gets for, I think, a colorless. It can switch out for free. I mean, it already can switch out for free. It doesn't have any retreat costs, but it does Grand Loop, which allows you to draw three cards and you can switch the Pokemon on your bench.
Mm-hmm.
But the Talonflame break is, I mean, it's not too bad. You can use it in conjunction with Blacksmith pretty well. Gets Flare Blitz for 2 fire energy, and it does 150 damage, and you have to discard all of the fire energy. But Blacksmith allows you to take 2 of them from the discard pile and put them back on something. So,
yeah,
I mean,
definitely you're completely right. The discarding part is not a problem.
No, it's not a problem. I mean, it's just, it could be better. I mean, 150 damage isn't bad, especially for a break.
Yep.
And unlike the other Talonflame cards, which essentially have the same move, I think one of them actually does have a move called Flare Blitz as well. But its probably. Flare Blitz does less damage.
Yeah.
And it does it somehow does damage to itself.
Oh, yeah, recoil.
Yeah, there's some kind of recoil equivalent in TCG for it. And, I mean, if this were just like a regular Talonflame card, I would say this is fantastic. But as a stage 3, I mean, 150 damage, again, not that bad. Mm-hmm. And it's essentially a stage 2, which isn't it's a stage 3.
It's a stage 3. And that's
the oh, God.
That's the big problem. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the big problem. I mean, the energy cost
is worse. It's a worse version of Mega Hound Doom EX, which wasn't even that good to begin with. Mm-hmm. So why are you trying to play something that's worse than that, that requires more cards to play in the first place?
Because you're a big fan of Smogon Bird, that's why.
Yeah. Then go play TCG or OU.
Stop playing TCG, go play the video game, right?
Oh god, do you imagine if they started dividing the...
Right now in BGC.
No, we support everyone playing everything, but Talonflame does not shine in the TCG at this moment.
No, he does not. I mean, it's the one place where
it doesn't need
to
either.
No, he's definitely prominent enough. I mean, it's like, it would be the equivalent of like last year if there was a Landorus Therian card that was like super prominent. Like, if that happened
there
in the TCG, there was. That's the thing. Yeah, no, you're exactly right. There's a Landorus. I think it was an EX, right? Landorus EX.
Yeah, yep. It was actually really good.
It was actually a pretty good card, and I mean, it's the equivalent of that. I mean, Talonflame, to be fair, Talonflame's like one of those Pokemon, at least in the video game, that's kind of just more of a support than anything else. So it doesn't like steal the show, especially in VGC right now. Mm-hmm. It doesn't steal the show.
And it's not even invited to the show in the TCG right now.
Yeah, no, which is great. I mean, I love the TCG because it lets you use all of those Pokemon that you think are garbage.
Yep.
In like the video game, and they can be good in the TCG because the TCG is so
prominent
arbitrary.
Deck right now is Joltik and Perkaboo.
Right?
What was the last time you could say you're going to VGC and I'm going to play my Torchic and I'm going to annihilate everyone?
People
Torchic. I'm sorry, Joltik.
So many people try, man. are we going to talk about this Pokepuff?
No, I was just going to say, yeah. Keep going.
Oh man, okay. So there's a Pokepuff trainer. Is this a promo or
no? Yeah, it's oh, that's a good question. They're coming in a set, I believe.
Okay. So your opponent reveals his or her hand, chooses as many basic Pokemon as you like from there, and put them on your opponent's bench. I guess that's good for like dumping your opponent's hand. You may play as many item cards as you like because it's an item card. Blah blah blah. But I guess it's good to like get your opponent to like dump their hand.
Mm-hmm.
Or just see their hand. I mean, if they're holding cards for some reason, I don't know. I'm thinking Yu-Gi-Oh.
No, you're thinking right. What do you think, Sublime?
Good. Mm-hmm. I don't know what decks would want to play this, but this is a very strong ability for an item card.
It is.
Force your opponent to play basics, especially if you pair this with Lysander and then just kill what you force them to play or something. Mm-hmm. It's a really, really strong card.
Yes. And also... great against Night March. You want those Joltiks and Punkaboo in the bench and not the discard pile. Because they're stuck there until he finds a way to be able to discard them. But they're useless in the bench.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good card. It's definitely one that it might see some play in tournaments. Because it might be one of those, hey, it's not bad to have one in a deck.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So moving on, of course, Legendary Fever is in the air, 2016, and that's no different in the TCG, where Magearna, did I say that right?
Yeah,
Magearna?
It used to be Magearna. That's
the
Japanese
name. We're
going
to have this discussion every single TCG cast, because I don't know how to pronounce anything.
It's Magearna. It's Magearna.
Magearna. Magearna and Volcanion. Tell me I didn't screw that one out.
Nope, you're good.
Okay, Volcanion EX are going to have new blister packs. Japanese fans will be able to purchase new Volcanion and Magearna TCG products in August 5th. Name EX Break, Special Jumbo Card Pack Volcanion EX, because everything's long in Japan. The package will feature a Jumbo Volcanion EX, a regular size Magearna promo, and it will include two boosters. And it's going to be part of the, which we're going to talk soon, new theme of this next set, which is Explosive Fighter / Cruel Trader.
Love it.
Yeah, weird. And it's gonna be part of the also the it's gonna have two booster packs on July 16 about the mystical Legendary Dream Holo collection. So hopefully we'll get this over here soon. It's gonna be interesting. We don't know what the cards do yet. But they always throw this packs, so it's gonna be cool. Thatch, tell us about our new theme decks for Fates Collide.
Fates Collide just came out, so I mean, I've taken a look at these myself, but we got two decks, like always. It's every set. You get two decks. One's a Zygarde deck, called Sky, or no, not called Battle Ruler, and the other one's a Lugia deck, called Sky Guardian. So you can check them out. They come with, you know, the cheapy playmat and the checklist and everything that you'd ever want in a deck.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're looking for one of these decks, go for it. Though I don't like buying those. I mean, just go buy the Elite Trainer box.
They're good if they bring good cards or not, but we don't know exactly the list for these. My only problem with these theme decks, to move on really quick, is the fact that they called Lugia Sky Guardian. Isn't he supposed to be the Guardian of the Sea?
Oh my gosh, let's not even talk about Lugia and Ho-Oh right now. Like, okay. I have heard so much garbage.
So let's.
Love Ho-Oh so much, too. So we need to not talk about Lugia.
We just need to not talk about Ho or Lugia right now, because there's just been so much garbage about Sun and Moon and Lugia and Ho lately, and hopefully in like 3 days it'll all be answered.
Hopefully, that's a big key word.
By the time
there.
By the time the show's out, it'll hopefully be answered.
Well, let's talk about something that we need to talk about. Sublime, tell us about this new full art.
So excited. I have been waiting for Professor Sycamore full art since, like, XY base set.
Yeah.
Yeah, when it replaced Juniper, because I like Sycamore so much more, and it's like, why does everyone get to play their Juniper full arts, and I'm stuck with generic Sycamore.
Yeah.
Not happy about it. But for those of you who purchased a booster box of XY11, which will be the Explosive Fighter / Cruel Trader set from stores, it will come with a full art promo of Professor Sycamore.
Nice.
The promo is numbered 246XY, and it will be released in Japan on June 17th, along with the Volcanion and Shiny Mega Gardevoir.
Yeah, Japan gets so much cool stuff, and we have to wait. It's law of
it's fine.
Being
I'm just
a
so
Nintendo
glad
/ anime fan.
Got it.
What was that?
I'm just really glad like Sycamore finally got the full art treatment.
Yes, and it looks great. It definitely looks great. You guys at home, please, if you're driving, no. But if you're not, go search this card. It looks pretty cool. I like it. Next, like I said before, earlier in the show, there is going to be a new set releasing just now in Japan called the Premium set, right? It was the reprinted one. We're skipping that. We're going straight to the Cruel Trader set, which is going to be released in August. And we already have a US name also. And it's actually not that bad. Steam Siege is America's XY11, the equivalent of Cruel Trader and Explosive Fighter. And it's going to be released here in August 3rd. So that's going to be pretty awesome. It's going to feature Shiny Mega Gardevoir EX, Volcanion EX, Xerneas Break, and Evolta Break, which that Evolta
Ooh,
Break, I
those,
can't
those,
wait.
That just sounds really, really interesting.
Yes,
because Xerneas and Evolta
are
like,
both good.
We should definitely take that with like a grain of salt, right? I think it'd be really cool because there definitely are some Xerneas cards out there that are good on their own.
Yeah.
Without
Geomancy
needing
one is pretty good.
The Geomancy is amazing.
Yeah, the like Xerneas EX sees a lot of play, but Xerneas itself is a pretty good card, and this could be a great way to get it into usage again because we have, you know, more HP essentially, just more bulk.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time. These are like stage one break cards as opposed to like how we got excited for that Lugia that turned out to be garbage.
Yeah.
there's more hope for break, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what we need. I mean, we can talk about this later, but it's definitely hopeful. It keeps the stars in my eyes.
Yeah, and Yveltal has a generic card that's really good as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Baby Yveltas, we like to
call it. So those both have a lot of promise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we discussed this in previous episodes, the how you play a break card is not that you focus your deck around it, it's the fact that it's a great extra tool to have in case you need it, right? Those break cards are not needed to be played as much as those mega Pokemon, those EX Pokemon. You have them and you use them in the situations where it's more likely to happen. And both these cards, Xerneas and Yveltal, see a lot of play. Xerneas is increasing right now in play since Fairy is now more viable again, thanks to Full Heal, Restore. Full Heal? Which one is it?
I'm not sure.
Max Potion.
Max Potion, thank you.
That's
Max
right.
Potion is back in the game, and that makes Fairy more, definitely more playable. And Yveltta is going crazy right now because it's also been really good. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. And that shiny Mega Gardevoir EX, though, is this going to be another reprint, though? I'm not sure. So hopefully we'll find out soon. We do have one more news. So, Sublime, take us home.
Super awesome news, y'all. Starting this month, the Pokemon Company International will allow people who win scholarships to cash them out if they are 18 years or older.
This
means that I need to play now, right?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, it was scholarships to begin with, so you could have just used that anyway.
Well, yeah, but, right? I mean, I can't like retroactively apply my scholarships, you know what I mean? Like, I go to school for free right now, and I have more student debt than anybody should know.
Yeah,
I have more student debt than I should have, but so I could use the cash handout, you know?
True.
It'd be great.
The only thing is, it becomes taxable income, unlike scholarships.
You know, obviously. So, I mean,
your tax bracket.
I'm a little scared. I'm a little scared. I'm a little hesitant, to be fair. Because not only do you have like taxable income, but that also means that the scene could become more competitive. Before it seemed like there was no real prize, at least in the Masters division of Pokemon. You know what I mean? Because most of us aren't in college, so we don't really care about winning these scholarships. You know, maybe we can transfer them to somebody. Like I could transfer it to my younger brother, but you know, there's no real prize for me other than like glory. And now that there's going to be some kind of cash on the table in video game and TCG, I mean, I want to do an episode on Play Pokemon in the near future because I think it's a very interesting scene. It's a very interesting community and culture. And I think, like, in the main podcast, we'll talk about it. But this is just very scary because I feel like it's just going to become more competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to cut off the ease of access that other people have to getting into the game. You know what I mean? And, like, in general. Just in Pokemon in general, in the TCG and the video game. I mean, this is also a trend we're seeing in Pokken Tournament now, too. Because Pokken Tournament announced that they were just going to have cash prizes. No scholarships. So at Worlds, we're going to have Pokken, and they're going to have like $6,000 cash on the line. You know what I mean?
And I do think it's a good idea in the sense that it brings more people into it. Like you said, people will be interested. Now there's actually, you know, a big prize to win at the end. So you want to play. You want to be competitive. It's going to be pretty hardcore. It does take a little bit out of the friendly competition, maybe. Now that it's actually cash
involved.
It
does. That's what I'm really worried about. I mean, when we went to Nationals last year and we all just participated in some of the side tournaments, most of the side tournaments were pretty laid back because, you know, we're going to win like a TCG mat or we're going to win, you know, some random item. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then when they did the tournaments, they did these, there were side tournaments where you could win like a 3DS or a Wii U, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when we signed up for those, that got crazy. I mean, it just that got super competitive, and I imagine like thousands of dollars on the line. It's about to get like nuts. I mean, you're gonna have a lot more angry people, and that's what's gonna scare me. I don't know. I don't want to see the culture of the Pokemon competitive scene, like the IRL competitive scene. I don't want to see that get tainted because of this. And that's something I think is a can of worms that could be opened.
I completely agree. So that's it for the news this month. I hope you guys have your own opinions. Please email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com and let us know what you think. Let's move on after our sponsors commercial, and we'll be back with the topic of the month. See you guys soon.
Good day, mates. Want something different? Then come on down to the Rhyhorn Steakhouse and try our new Southern Carlos style Buffalant wings, critically acclaimed. And this weekend only. Rhyhorn Steaks, I'll buy one, get one half off. That's for you and your special someone. Rhyhorn Steakhouse is a proud sponsor of the Puckle TCG podcast. And at Rhyhorn Steakhouse, where if it moves, we'll serve it.
And welcome back to the Puckle TCG cast, and on we are with the topic of the month. And what that topic is, well, really easy. What do we want for the future of the TCG? What are our expectations, our wish list, and maybe things that we think they should go? Sublime, what do you think? What are your opinions?
Well, I think that one of the greatest things about any competitive TCG is because cards are constantly being added, the game is always staying fresh or changing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't necessarily like the way it's changing, or you really like the way certain things change it. But the fact that it's constantly evolving is
see what you did there.
Why I'm never worried about, oh, they need to add more of this or more of that, because it's going to change. What I would really like to see is the way that the game is accessible, or the way it's played or plays out, mm-hmm. change. And what I mean by that is, like, it becomes increasingly harder to get resources that are old.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when they changed the main format for tournaments to expanded, I was like, well, never going, because I focused on standard only. That's kind of when I jumped in, and I only have from XY onward.
Yeah, it's by the way, I agree. So, kind of format too.
Right? Like, it becomes so hard as a barrier of entry to get into the game when there's all of these cards that become much more necessary in an expanded format that just change the cards you need in order to, like, have a chance, and they're hard to get because they're from such old sets. Yeah. And so I would like to see accessibility change. And one way that this is just, this will probably never happen, but what I would love to see is if online TCG was a way you could participate competitively for the actual events. Yeah. Because there is an infinite number of cards online. And
oh,
you
wait,
could just,
jumping,
if you had a
jumping off
there,
that, jumping off that, like, it would be really cool because what they do during the, for the, like, the video game, to get championship points, you can go and you can participate in, like, the international challenges.
Right.
It'd be really cool
if they
every other month, I think. There was one in March and one in January.
They always have something.
There's always something, but there's at least, like, three or four competitions throughout the years you can get championship points. Now, that's not enough to go to Worlds, but it'd be really cool if they did something like that with the TCG online.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think
or
the
if
reason
you could,
they
like,
don't
take
do
your
it.
Laptop and play on it, and I know they won't, but it would.
No.
That's the direction I would like to see.
Yeah.
They actually had that
where,
at all.
Oh, you can access whatever you need if it's digital, even if you didn't have that actual card. It could be obtainable. Or
I think
reliable.
The reason it doesn't count right now, and I don't think it ever will, is because the lack of a judge might be
or
an
I
issue.
Think part of the problem is they don't make as much money that way.
Also
that,
true.
I think real talk. But when we went to Nationals last year, they actually had a thing set up. Like, it was they had about, I think, 10, 12 computers set up where they had the TCG online, and what you did, that you had literally the whole, like, every card at your disposal, and you could build your own deck. And what you did is you would play King of the Hill, essentially. And people would come in and try to take you out. And if you, like, you could stay there for up to three matches or something. And if you did that, then you got some free packs. Also, FYI, for PuckleCon attendees, we are going to get so many free packs of Fates Collide. It's not even funny.
Woo!
We're going to get so many.
Nice. I need to improve my physical collection. It's been going
Oh, you
down.
Will. You will. We will be opening so many packs. Like, it's not, I'm not even kidding.
But going back to what Sublime was saying, that is definitely something that would be great if we could get those old cards easier. If it had a way for us to just, you know, be able to acquire them. So going off of what Sublime said about, you know, expanded kind of being a drug, I like to say that it's pretty curious how the VCG and the TCG, to me, at least personal opinion, they differ in that, in where I love my TG, the more restricted it is, the better I think it is. But at the other side, the VGC, I think the more restricted it is, the less I like it. So it's kind of curious, about that. It's pretty funny.
That's true.
So, Thatch, what would you change? What would you add? What would you like to see in the future TCG?
I mean, like we've been talking about, I'm a big fan of, like, seeing break out. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see something other than EX Pokemon be the main focus of the TCG. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been really big as of late, and the way they get rid of that sometimes is, you know, I mean, they've taken EX out of the format before. Mm-hmm. This was a really long time ago. They haven't done it anymore. They don't do it. They haven't done it recently.
I don't think they could at this point.
I don't think they can at this point. You're 100% correct. And, you know, it's, I don't know. I'd like to see something else that's as big as an EX, you know? Because we end up just getting these mega Pokemon that are, it feels like the video game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you can get me Mega Pinsir EX, you know? That could work. That'd be kind of cool. I don't know what attacks it would have, but it'd be cool.
Yeah. It would be a it could be added colorless, right? Because it would be flying.
It could
be, so that would
be
interesting.
Colorless. It could be. You're 100% right.
Although that would suck because it means no one is weak against
well,
it.
Well, it's like the Mega Altaria card that just came out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that'd be interesting. I don't know. I don't want to see too much. Like, I think Dragon was not a great addition. Yeah. I would like to see Dragon become more prominent. Double Dragon Energy was a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to see, I don't know, something else. Some card to just give Dragon a kick in the butt. You know, just be like, oh man,
make
Dragon, you're
better.
Viable now. Yeah, you're viable
they've
now.
They've tried that more than once already.
Yeah. You know, or even like, know. Or even, I don't
we just
know.
Need better Dragon cards.
I mean, it would be interesting in general to see the game shift to multicolored decks. You know what I mean? So that we're not just seeing, you know, most of the time you're seeing people just run one energy type. And mm-hmm. it would be interesting if somehow they can make it viable. I'm not sure how they can do this yet.
They have they can done make that it in the past before.
Yeah, no, it's worked
the most recent one that did it well was in a previous format. Like because Night March is two types of attackers as well, but yeah. that used multiple was with Team Plasma.
Yeah.
Peace Plasma mm-hmm. played a lot of different card types, and the reason it was viable is because you had Rainbow Energy and Prism Energy. Both
yeah,
in the
Rainbow
format.
Energy
so
would be
those two
Rainbow,
cards are what.
Rainbow did Rainbow Energy not come
format.
Back? I thought it came back.
It did.
Is it back in the
it
format?
Did, so.
It,
we don't have
it did.
Prism
okay, that's what I thought.
Prism.
Yeah, we don't have Prism
for that to be
no.
approachable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it would just be very interesting to see that come back because I feel like if you get to the point where you can run multicolored decks again, then maybe you could find a way to start fitting in some of these dragons.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're taking two types of energies to run, and I mean, Double Dragon does account for that, but at the same time, you only have
four.
Yeah, you're using mm-hmm. deck space for four Double Dragon energies. I mean, that's a lot of deck space, yeah. and I don't know. I would love to see that, and I'm not really worried about the rules or anything. Or I would just like to see the game shift. It feels very stale. Like right now, anytime you build a deck, except for like Night March or Vespa yeah. Quinn, I guess. You're like, okay, I have this EX, I want to build a deck around it, you know? And I'd like to see the game change to a point where you can go, hey, I have, you know, this Lugia break or this Xerneas break. Let's build a deck around it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would just like to see some other strategies other than let's get something out that can hit fast and hard. You know what yeah. I mean?
Yeah, I agree. And as for my wish list, I kind of agree with you, Thatch. I would like to see more of non-EX Pokemon shine, and this is actually why I think this rule I would love, even though it will never, never happen. And one rule I would definitely want to get take out would be the way to turn to evolve. I know it's never going to happen. It's yeah. cemented into the DNA of the Pokemon TCG, but...
It's been
I
there
just
since the beginning.
Since the beginning, yeah. But I would love to be able to evolve immediately because that instantly would make stage 1s and 2 Pokemon viable. I mean, you still need its basic, its stage 1 and its stage 2 in your hand to be able to do it anyway. So it still has a kind of like a cost.
Plus it costs you deck space.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, and the fact that if you don't have to wait a turn, like the when you use plant giant
Forest of Giant Plants, thank and that you. Shows how good a ton of grass cards became when they could just instantly yeah. evolve. Like mm-hmm. Vileplume, super strong. Yep. Lots of cards.
Mm-hmm. And I wish that was just for every type, right? To just evolve instantly, no problem. Of course this will never happen unless they do a reboot.
Would have to make I feel like we could approach that or make that possible without having to change the rules just by introducing cards like Forest of the Giant
yeah.
Plants. And it wouldn't even have to be type specific. You could have one where you can instantly evolve into a stage 1, but it caps at stage 1. Yeah. Or all sorts of – there could be items that do things like that.
Or a Pokemon
we
ability.
Did get a supporter that does that. I believe Wally lets you instantly evolve.
Yep.
So there's. I feel like that's attainable in other ways.
Yep. Totally agree. And that's something that I would love to love for it to happen would be to take that rule out. Yeah, let's see. It won't happen, but one can dream. Anything else that you guys can think that you want to add or take out?
Not really.
Cool. So let's go on and move to our next segment. We have some reader mail that we would love, listener mail, that we love to talk about here. So Thatch, bring us on with the first one.
All right, so we got one from Jedi Cruz. He says, I've been listening to Puckle for some time now, and now I've been enjoying listening to the TCG podcast.
Hey,
now,
thank you.
He says now a lot. I trust your advice and knowledge, which is the reason for this inquiry. Full disclosure, this is a deck based around Pokemon everyone is tired of. I know. But there are reasons I chose this one. Mostly because I feel like it, I just like it, and ever since I started playing the game in Yellow version all those years ago. Anyway, here we go. Charizard. There I said it. Wow. I can almost hear the disgust now, even though you haven't even read this yet. I can almost hear the words horrible, so bad, hate, the worst, etc. in my head right now. Yes, there are far better Pokemon to focus the deck around. I know. It won't win Worlds or Regionals. It won't win Worlds or Regionals, but I'm never going to go to Worlds or Regionals. I made it so that I can sometimes beat my adult opponents. I'm in my mid-30s at a local card shop. Gosh darn it, I'm just stubborn. I like Charizard. Hate me if you want, but I humbly ask for your advice and hope you can put your disdain for Charizard aside in order to give it. What cards should use or replace in my deck list? What's the best strategy? And no, I'm not going to go with another Pokemon when using
said
card. That's
the first suggestion.
I always get stuck when using Skyla as a trainer card to get, since I have many options. Here's my current deck list. And I don't want to read the whole deck list.
We can just talk about what he should use.
I mean, first of
I'm
all,
I'm going to post
using
it on the description for the episode.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
If you guys are interested, you can go to the description of the TCG guest and you'll see his deck list there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and so I think we all agreed that he's using the right Mega Charizard. The one from the generation set, the only good Mega Charizard.
The only usable one.
usable one. The other two aren't that great at all. I mean,
so before we get into it though.
Yeah, Mega Charizard Y can be made to work, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's more work. Yeah.
So before we get into it, thank you so much, Jetta Cruz, for sending your mail to us. And also, what you're doing, even though we have a clear disdain to Charizard, what you're doing is what I love.
I don't hate Charizard.
I mean, the Charizard...
Hating on Charizard is what's tiresome now.
Charizard is what's cool now, bro.
Hating on Charizard is just necessary now.
But what you're doing, Jedi Cruz, is exactly what I love from the TCG. Just make the deck you want. You don't have to do a competitive national deck every time you play. That's not the point of the TCG. Just like the regular Pokemon video game, it is depends on how you enjoy the play. And if you enjoy the play just to pass the game, like myself, I'm not a competitive VCG player at all. I just love to play the game 100 times because I just love it. That's just fine. That's the way you're supposed to play the game. So kudos for you. And yes, we're going to put aside our hatred and we're going to help you out with this. So Plime, what are your suggestions out of the top of your head?
Top of my head, I would say you don't need colorless energy for this deck because your main attacker is Mega Charizard EX. It relies explicitly on just fire energy, so you should focus exclusively on fire energy because the more fire energy you have, the better it will be. So I would get rid of those. I would say add more Scorched Earth. You can only run one stadium, and in any like match, people are going to be playing more than one stadium to like get rid of the opponent's stadium and get their own to play.
Yeah.
And so I say you need at least 3 to 4 Scorched Earth. So that's one consideration to replace those double colorless energies with. Mm-hmm. I would say you only need one Lysander and one Skyla in your deck because you're running 4 VS Seeker and 3 Battle Compressors, which is the way to do it. I love when you can just discard whatever supporters you need, then VS Seeker for them to get them instantly. So you can just cut those down to 1 instead of 2 each. I think you should use more Blacksmith energy, maybe 3.
Oh, absolutely.
You have 2 currently. Yeah, because that's what synergizes so well with your main attacker.
Mm-hmm.
Ultra Ball and VS Seeker are both good. Trick Coin is good for what your attack does. I would get rid of Sparkling Robe and Startling Megaphone. Those are not necessary.
Yeah, right now it's not.
Yeah. And you have a lot of energy in this deck, so I don't think Professor's Letter is necessary at all.
And you want to get those energies in your discard pile,
right?
So you can use Blacksmith to get them out of them.
To do that with Scorched Earth. You're looking at getting Fiery Torch, which I would suggest is something you should try running. So I would definitely get rid of Startling Megaphone and Sparkling Robe, as well as Professor's Letter. Add some more. You have 2 Mega Turbo. Since you're using a Mega as your attacker, 3 or 4, especially because it wants lots of energy on it, to hit as hard as possible. Yep.
What I would
and
add,
possibly get rid of Lugia EX.
I was just gonna say, take away the Lugia EX. The reason is you don't want that many EX in your deck. Remember that each time you lose one, it's two prizes for the opponent. So you might not. So and you have to take into consideration Charizard EX doesn't have a Spirit Link. That means that when it evolves to Mega Charizard, you will lose the turn. Because of that, you will need to stall a little bit. I would add maybe two or three Wobbuffet. Wobbuffet from Phantom Forces, which have the Pokemon ability that blocks Pokemon abilities, would be a great delay Pokemon to make sure you get your Charizard ready to go. Regarding the Charizards, I see that...
He's using the wrong one, right?
Yeah, he has two different Charizards, and they're both the bad one.
But not the bad one. You need the good one from, I think it's Flashfire, right?
Yes, yeah, it's
Flashfire.
The Flashfire one. Flashfire. That
I
has combustion,
the one with combustion blast.
It
makes it where your base Pokemon is also a viable attacker instead of just having to rely on getting a Mega Evolution into play.
Yeah, it's just a better card.
Stoke isn't
that one,
bad
yeah.
though as a starter for this deck simply because it like can get you energy acceleration. For when you Mega Evolve the next turn.
Yep. So that's a good chance. And lastly, the last thing I would add would be, of course, three Shaming EX or two. Hail Shaming. Hail.
That's going to cost him like $90-some.
Yeah. Well,
like, Shaming EX costs so much money right now.
It's an investment, okay?
Oh my gosh. Like, it's the best card in the format. Real talk.
Oh my gosh, it's so bad. And I'm not saying that Shaman EX is bad.
No,
I'm saying
I know.
It's
price,
so bad that like that card's just so much money. I mean, on Trollentoad right now it's $50 now. Oh my gosh, it's awful. I mean, tcgplayer.com too. I mean, what is it there? It's $40 right now. $40 right now on TCG player, because God knows you need.
But it's that good. That's the problem.
I mean, I know
good.
It's.
Well, I think if he gets more Scorched Earth and some Fiery Torches, that will help with card draw. Because what this deck needs is more card draw.
Yep, definitely. It needs to speed up because your main attacker is slow. It's slow because it needs a lot of energy, and it needs to evolve. Thus, you lose a turn. So you want to make sure you're able to get the cards you need. The quicker, the better.
I was just so sad when Shaman EX came out. I'm just like, oh no, another card that's going to be $40.
Well, going back to the topic, real quick, that's another thing. If Pokemon Company sees that there's one card that is so good that the price skyrocket, please make sure you make it a tin card.
Okay, they're really good about that typically.
Usually,
though.
Yes, but Shaman EX, like, man, they dropped the ball with that one.
Yeah, they really did. I mean, we didn't need a Latios.
They might drop a tin later in the year because of the celebration of Legendaries this year. Shaman's coming up later in the year. I bet it'll get a tin for it.
I doubt it. No, because it's already getting a Generations box.
Yeah, let's see. Anyway, let's move on. Jelly Cruz, thank you so much. I hope that answered your question. Don't worry, I'm going to send you an email with our suggestions there. And also, let me retract what I said at the beginning. Let me ask Jedi Cruz permission to post this deck list into the description, because I know deck lists are something that might be personal sometimes. That's completely legit, and he's totally in his right to say, no, I would like to keep this a secret. So that's totally cool. So no worry, Jedi Cruz, I'll ask you if he agrees. We'll definitely put it on the description. If not, hey, that's super cool too, because everyone's entitled to their own deck list. So moving on to the next email we have. It's from Mikey.
He's from Pokemon Crossroads.
Pokemon Crossroads. So he has a very long email, so we're not going to read the complete whole thing. So I kind of summarized the best as I could. Let's just go ahead and it. Hello! I am not sure if you're doing mailbag for the TCG cast, but I feel like I should say something. If anything, it could be read on the next episode of TCG cast. Okay. So, Batch lacks of knowledge in the TCG, though I am sure some may feel offended by that. I have a problem with the recent views of the metal type. As a self-proclaimed specialist in metal and league leader, I feel like I must do my best to educate those in the TCG with heavy metal. It says, this all started when your coverage of the Pokemon TCG types where you mentioned that metal was simply a defensive type. That is true, but you guys never mentioned how it is defensive type. I hope you do not mind, but I wish to share a few examples of how defensive metal Pokemon work. And he did. He provided a lot of examples, which are all great. Sorry, I'm not going to read them all. I can definitely give this email to Thatch. I know that he's eventually doing an article where he's going to place emails that weren't read. Is that still a thing?
Maybe. I'm coming up with other ideas.
Okay.
Because some of them are just like, I don't know. I got to come up with other ideas for that.
Okay, so.
I mean, the thing is, when we did that episode, like, we had so many types to cover, we couldn't go into all of the examples.
True.
Also.
But I did take the what he wanted to take from this, so I'm going to move on. So, I also want to talk about Genesect EX from the Fates Collide review. You guys really undersold it, and that was the final straw for me. Steel has a really hard time hitting 130. Either they hit too low, such as Cobalion EX or Mega Scissor EX, or they hit too high and costly, like Dialga EX, Full Metal Impact. It takes too much work and effort to hit that number with Aegislash EX with 4 or 5 metal plus a muscle band. Genesect EX hits the number just right. Loaded up with 3 metal energies by the 2 metal links with Bronzor and normal attach. Next, you attach a Fighting Fury belt or muscle band and go into battle with 130 HP. Evelta, for example. Discard an energy and they will hit the floor. It may not be much play in this format, but once Aegislash EX and Dialga EX are out, we may have a possible replacement. And then lastly, I do want to defend Tyranitar EX. He goes on how it's actually viable. Because he's defending me. Because I said it was, and you guys didn't.
Wait, no. Okay, it's the Tyranitar from Fates Collide. That's not an EX.
No, yeah.
Yeah, this is the stage 2.
The 250 one.
It's a stage 2 that does 150 damage and it takes 5 dark energies.
Yeah.
That is garbage.
So we're going to skip over that, though. But thank you, Jedi Sorry. Cruz, for backing me up in that part. So I hope you guys learn something of the metal types. They are underappreciated type in the TCG and need some love. Their hearts may be cold, but it doesn't mean they are heartless.
To be fair, I'm a big fan of the Mega Scissor.
I love the metal types.
Yep.
The Mega Scissor
I
EX
love Dialga.
Catch you on the TCG flip flop, Mikey. So, going back to his Genesect EX rant.
It's a bad card, sorry. No, for real. Like, yeah. It only adds 10 per metal energy. They're like, you know what? He's like, oh, you can do it like turn 1 to attack for 130, but like, Dialga can do that too and hit
I think
harder.
The, yeah, we
you just
we
do a double
to...
colorless as the manual attach, and then you do the same thing with the Bronzongs.
That's the thing. It's not that it's a horrible card, it's just
it's
that
not...
they're.
There's better
things.
Options. I'm
yeah.
sorry.
And that's,
it's not
that's
a good
the thing
card.
About the TCG. There, when there's better options of the same type, there's better options. You go with the better options when that's the case. And Genesect EX, it just doesn't hit hard enough as Dialga EX, for example. So, yeah. Sorry.
Also, I cannot emphasize how bad that Tyranitar is, and I will stand by my mind about it.
Right,
and yes. No one's even playing that new Darkrai EX because everyone's playing Yveltal EX, so it's not even a problem. Don't worry about it. Play your Yveltals and move on.
Well, me and Jedi Crew. I'm sorry, Mikey.
But thank you for the email. I'm sorry.
he's going to be at Nationals. We can talk to him then.
Oh,
yeah. Can tell
Mikey,
us how
thank
bad
you
we
so
are
much
at
for
talking
reading.
On the TCG.
No, I love Metal Energy. Yeah. Bronzong is such a good card.
Mm-hmm. No, Metal just... Energy, the type. It's great. It's a great type.
Mm-hmm. I just don't like the Genesect. Sorry.
So let's gonna move on to the final segment with the time everyone is waiting for. Pokemon 20 questions, but with a twist, because now it's who's that Pokemon? Pokemon 15 questions. We'll be right back with the game.
Who's that Pokemon?
It's that time again, guys. Who's that Pokemon? Pokemon 15 questions where you, the community, goes head-to-head to try to stump our co-host. They have a handicap this time because they're one man down, and it's only 15 questions. So let's see if we can stump them. This month's suggestion came from Matt in PucklePodcast.com. He suggests a Pokemon. Let's see if our guys can figure out which one. Let's start out with Sublime. Take it away. What's your first question? God.
15 questions is so much harder.
Oh, before we do that, though, rules. Lower your browsers. No internet. You cannot any number or name questions. Take it away.
Okay. So, is this Pokemon from Generations 1 through 3?
It is not.
Okay.
Is this Pokemon from Generations 4 or 5?
Yes.
Is this Pokemon from Generation 5?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. It's the hardest one now.
Oh my god, that's the biggest generation.
It's the hardest one. Okay, so it's Gen 5. Okay, I'm thinking. I don't want to do types because types, that's too many types. We're on question 4 too. So, oh man. Does this Pokemon evolve?
No.
It does not evolve.
Ooh, that takes a lot of them out.
Yeah, that's true.
It's Stunfisk. I guarantee it. Just ask right now.
You know what? Gen 5 has a ton of legendary Pokemon.
That's true.
So, is this Pokemon legendary?
No.
Ooh, okay, that cuts out a good number of them, though.
That does cut out, like, 20 or something.
That cuts out, like, a good number of legendary Pokemon. Oh, man, so it doesn't evolve. And it could be Stunfisk still. That's the important thing. Oh, man, so it doesn't evolve. Oof. What do you ask from there? I mean, what's the strategy here? It's like,
dual type or not, I guess.
Oh, yeah, is it dual type?
No.
No, oh.
Monotype. All right. Well, that's a lot of information.
We've got a lot here. Okay.
I think next month's going to be Pokemon 10 questions.
What number
this
are we
on?
This
is already really hard.
Six. You're going to seven six. Now.
Oof. Okay. So we're not halfway there yet.
my God.
So we know it's monotype. What are the monotype Pokemon in that don't evolve?
There's a lot of fighting types. You have Sock and Throw.
Sock, Throw. Audino is another one.
Let's just list
the question.
My next question is, can this Pokemon be obtained before the fourth gym in
I hate those questions.
Black and White?
Make me do more research.
Makes you do research. That's a good question. What's the fourth gym? Oh, that's a list.
Say yes.
Ooh.
No, no, I can't say. No, wait. See these questions. I'm gonna have to actually look for a map now. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I mean, wait for that answer.
Mean,
okay.
For real, so we gotta, figure that out.
If it's before, it's Nimbasa City. Nimbasa City, by the way.
Yeah, it's before the desert route.
Let's see.
That counts. I still think you can obtain Audino, Throw, and Sock all before that, though.
Audino, Throw, Sock.
What other monotypes are there?
You know, I'm going to say no.
It is not obtainable before that?
I am 80% sure it's a not obtainable
80%.
Before the 4 gem.
Yeah. Oh, you know what just came into my mind was a Druddigon.
Druddigon's a good... Oh, that's not a bad... There's also Durant, Heatmore. Oh, wait, not Durant.
Durant is Steel and Bug, so that's Druddigon...
Heatmore.
Fits that.
Uh-huh. It doesn't evolve though. I'm thinking, I don't know how many Pokemon don't evolve in that generation. It's not that many. They just seem like they don't evolve because they all evolve very late.
Buffalant doesn't evolve?
Ooh, Buffalant.
And that comes way later.
Okay, so I'm thinking Heatmore or Buffalant, right? And then let's ask if it's a normal type. It's my question. It's my turn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a normal type?
No.
No, okay. So that's not Buffalant or Audino. So we're on to question 9.
Yeah.
Okay. And so it's a monotype.
We could, because there's so few monotype Pokemon,
I don't know how
we start like shooting by types.
Yeah, but what monotypes are there other than the ones we just mentioned?
Druddigon, Heatmore. Well, let's think.
There's Druddigon.
That's
I don't think there were any Heatmore, mono bug. that were non-evolving?
No. No, I don't think so.
Were there any dark types that don't evolve?
I need question number
nine. Okay, my
right?
question will be, is this a dragon type?
Nope.
Okay, so it's not Drudigans. My bad.
So it's not Drudigan. It's not Audino. Oh, man. This is hard.
It could be Heatmore
like a mono.
Still.
It could still be Heatmore.
It cannot
question
be Sakura,
right?
Girl, because you can get those before.
Yeah, you can get those before Nimbasa. So I guess my question is it a fire type?
Yes.
Well, I think
okay.
we got it.
It has to be, right?
Are there anything we're forgetting? Is there any like fire types we're forgetting that are not evolving from Gen 5 other than
Heatmore? Ask if it looks like an anteater.
That's a good one. Does this Pokemon resemble an anteater?
Yes.
Okay, good for us.
Pokemon Heatmore?
Yes. Congratulations, guys. You beat Matt.
Ooh.
Who's that Pokemon? Pokemon 50 questions. Who? What? Where? Real soon, it's gonna be Pokemon 10 questions.
How many questions did we get?
No, you guessed it at 11. So actually,
11.
Yep, 11.
Oh
questions.
Man, that's great. That's like a new record.
That's a new
I
record,
think.
I think.
Yeah, and for only
new,
two people
that's
too.
A new record. Yeah. So yeah. Sublime and I are carrying the team here. You know.
Yeah. I don't know how you guys can remember all of these Pokemon at the top of the head. I wanna. Next time I'm going to have to invade your monitor and see what you're looking at.
I will let you look at my monitor.
I'm kidding, of course.
At Skype and I'm looking at a Word document. That's all I'm looking at.
Yeah,
right
your
now.
Memories are awesome.
The problem with being old Pokemon fans for the entire
yep.
history of it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I have so much
it's easier when you gather like the Pokemon over time. Like I guarantee you if I came in like if I stopped playing in Gen 3 and then just came back, I wouldn't have been able to
That'd
do
be
this.
Harder.
Yep.
But being a lifelong Pokemon fan, I yep. definitely have all of the Pokemon in my head because it's like, yeah, I only have to add 150 every 3 years, you know? So.
Okay, so thank you so much, Matt, for writing in your suggestions. Nice try, maybe next time. And thank you, Puckle, listeners, for tuning in to us and enjoying our show. If you have any questions, if you have any suggestions, please feel free to email us at PokemonPodcast@gmail.com. Also, while you're at it, follow us at Twitter or in Twitter at Puckle Podcast. Follow us in Facebook at Facebook.com/PucklePodcast. We have our own Reddit. We have Tumblr. And make sure you review us on iTunes. I love your reviews. Thatch loves your review. Even Sublime does, which he hardly loves anyone. Definitely review us. It helps a lot. It makes our communities grow. Also, if you have that little extra income that you might want to dispose of, because who wants money these days, support us at Patreon and become a patron. And we promise you every cent of that money goes straight back to you guys, to live shows, to more rewards and prizes, to just a better all quality podcast. Thank you so much. And also, of course, please join our discussions. We have now not only one, two live chat meetups each month, right, Thatch?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's the first Monday mm-hmm. or the second Monday. Of the
and
month,
the third
which I guess
Friday?
Is oh man, and then it's the I'm gonna say last Friday of the month.
Okay, yeah, and so come hang with us, come chat with us. It's always fun, and of course, thank you for tuning in, Sublime. Thank you so much for being with me.
So glad to be here. My heart is dark like my type.
Thatch, always an honor, like always.
Absolutely. Now I gotta go catch the train and get back to Lavender Town.
Yep.
So, it was good
thank
seeing you guys.
Thank you for joining here in Golden Rod. And thank you, listeners. Until next time, it's closing time.
Goodbyes, it's closing time. Farewell, my friends. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
ACAST helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. ACAST.com.